coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We're not going to be silenced. Folks might notice that Hagman Report Live was down for a bit today. The reason, of course, for that, in addition to extensive traffic at our website, millions upon millions of bots hitting our website, hitting that website, and causing well over a terabyte this month, actually, of data transfer. You see, the attacks come in all forms. I want to welcome you to today's program. I have a great program lined up for you. Two fantastic guests. I mean, absolutely out of the park guests. One of my favorite people is Dr. Michael Lake, Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, the author of three books, I believe it is. Two books I've got right here. The Shinar Directive, which is absolutely critical reading. If you
want to, I think he's got five.
Five. I'm sorry.
I think he's got a couple older ones.
And Dr. Lake's wife, Mary Lou Lake. What witches don't want Christians to know. I got to tell you, that's a powerful book. But thanks for that five. I guess after what, two, three, you kind of lose count. Anyway, Shinar Directive. Fantastic. And the subtitle, of course, Preparing the Way for the Son of Perdition. And the second book is The Sharith Imperative, Empowering the Remnant to Overcome the Gates of Hell. And I had I was so delighted, had the honor to do the foreword to this book, both books. I'll tell you what, this is kind of like a set to me, these two books. Very, very important information in here that deals with a lot of background to what we're seeing today. Now, speaking about today, the issues at hand right now, it looks like President Trump is not going to be extending the social distancing guidelines, which are set to expire tomorrow, which is May 1st. Don't forget tomorrow, May 1st. Also, four pages of material was released yesterday. And that had to do with General Michael Flynn. And you can see the setting up of General Flynn. And it's just an amazing, absolutely amazing to look at as to who actually wrote the handwritten notes on that one page. Looks like pre-step. I'm not sure. There's some wavering going on, but it looks like pre-step might be the guy behind that, if not Strzok, maybe. But it looks like Bill Priestrup from the FBI. The number of unemployment claims the last 6 weeks, 3.8 million more Americans filed new unemployment claims last week. 3.8 million more. And over 30 million in the last 6 weeks. I just wanted to get that out there to let you know that, you know what? The Communist Party, the Chinese Party virus, that's a real thing. But the lockdowns, the quarantine, look at the chaos, the coronavirus chaos that's taking place. It looks like the deep staters of Birx, Fauci, and the World Health Organization, as well as Bill Gates, not getting their way. Maybe they won't get their way. But we're going to be talking, kind of infusing some of that, perhaps, into the conversation. Eric, we ready to go?
Give me 1 minute.
All right.
We have them. I just need to finish setting up a shot.
All right. Sounds good. And folks, if you haven't done so already, you can go to HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com, or SteveQuayle.com, or Kingdom Intelligence Briefing. Do me a favor. And I mean this. If you, of course, why would I say that? No, I wouldn't mean. No, look, get your tickets for live streaming of this conference. I kind of know the back end of it in terms of the speakers and with the material and such. Oh, it's going to be just a fantastic presentation. So even better, than I initially expected. And that's hard to do. So go to stevequayle.com or gen6.com, actually. So you can skip a step, go to gen6.com and schedule, get the live streaming. Plus you get DVDs as well. You can check out the offer there, but you got to do it like within the next couple of days. And the reason is it's 14 days from now, 2 weeks from now. So please, gen6.com and get your live streaming tickets. And also, you're going to be treated very well with a DVD the DVD set and, the live streaming. All right. We're ready to go. How's that for stretching it out? But seriously, my good friend Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com is joining me now, as well as a man that I respect highly. I mean, wow, just his work is absolutely top notch. And that's Dr. Michael Lake, as well as his wife, Mary Lou Lake. Her book, wow, what a great book. So anyway, Steve, thanks for joining me today, and I'm going to kick it over to you and just run with it.
Well, I think, Doug, I just heard your opening, and obviously the timing of this year's Branson Conference 2020 dealing with catastrophes, cataclysms, the days of Noah, the pre-Adamic era. And I've asked Dr. Lake in the first hour to deal why these subject matters are so pertinent. And I think one of the problems that we're seeing, Doug, in the world, just like General Flynn, he was set up by an out-of-control, illegal bunch of activities. We've watched it with Roger Stone. And God's really big in the Bible on unjust measures. And the scripture is really pronounced against this time period we live in, where we're now in a lawless period, where the scripture says each man does that which is right in his own sight. But the cataclysms, the peril, the starvation that's being forced upon the United States, everything portends to, you can argue about when does this and this happen, but what I think is really imperative now, and I'm going to turn it right over to Dr. Lake, is the fact that why, just as a couple of years ago when we had the Branson Conference, that I made the statement, normal is no longer going to be the same. And by the way, that word normal now appears all over. It'll never go back to normal. And that's what we've got to get. And I've asked Dr. Lake to address the mindset, because we are living in a unparalleled time. It's going to be perilous. It's going to be absolutely imperative, to get people to understand that this just is in the future. We are living now in the fulfillment of the Word of God. Go ahead, Michael, if you don't mind.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Steve and Doug for having me on. Guys, we're probably in some of the most prophetic times that we have been in since the book of Acts was written. And in the midst of that, as I've been thinking about the interview today and what I needed to share, my main website is Kingdom Intelligence Briefing. What we need is the proper intelligence. Otherwise, we don't know how to prepare. We don't know how to pray. We have been lulled to sleep in Laodicea. The church is not ready. It doesn't know how to move in the fire of God. It doesn't know how to repent anymore. It has so twisted the word to placate our carnality. And all the while, the elite are absolutely dedicated to what they're doing. When you look at the Georgia Stones, they would love to reduce the world from, I think the current estimate is 5.76 billion people to 500 million. They are dedicated beyond belief to do that. They are going to try to force the world into a one world government while trying to use various machinations to bring control of the human race. At the same time, we need to have the anointing of the sons of Issachar, so that we can understand the times that we're in. We have to keep abreast of what we're doing, as well as to have the ability. And this is one of the things that I think Steve and Doug and so many others do so well, is one of the Luciferian doctrines that are put forth in the of the protocols of the learned elders of Sion. And I say Sion instead of Zion, because I think it actually goes back to the priory of Sion. It's an Illuminati doctrine. It's not necessarily a Jewish document, was that we were going to be so overwhelmed with so many different pieces of information that it caused paralysis by analysis. We have got to have men and women that are anointed by the Holy Spirit to give us accurate information on what the enemy is doing. There is one of the things that I have noticed about the elite is, believe it or not, they do have a code of ethics. Now, it's a crazy code of ethics, but it's still a code of ethics that they have got to tell you before they do something to you. If you protest and stand your ground, they've got to back off, because if they don't, they believe that that karma is going to come back on them. What they want is a church that is asleep, that is pacified, that is fat and happy, if you will, and that has really woven itself into the Laodicean era. And the only thing that is going to stem them is a church that is awakened, that knows what is going on. That's why this conference is so important. I believe that Steve is bringing together men and women that have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to reveal what the enemy is doing, so that we can, number one, stand up against it. Number two, we can become very vocal in our opposition to it. I think if we will do those two things, they're going to have trouble in the days ahead. And at the same time, it's going to be a purification, if you will, by fire for the body of Christ. We're getting ready to see what separates the men from the boys. What do you think, Steve?
I couldn't agree with you more. And the book of Acts, Jesus spoke of a baptism by fire, and we'll get into that. But Michael, I just want to share something with you. About 2 weeks ago, the global population was, and I just sent it to you, was 7,777,000,000, okay? Now, for the first time in history, by the way, this isn't to correct you, you probably know where I'm going to go with this. In the book of Revelation and all the numbers of seven in Scripture, when we're talking about the seven churches, the seven seals, the seven bowls, the seven trumpets, the seven thunders, and the sevenfold ask of the Holy Spirit, and all the sevens, not just in the book of Revelation, throughout the whole Bible on the seventh day, you know, the resting of the Sabbath. But what's interesting, that number, what I'm saying is all of the sevens in the global population is like a light switch went on. I said, of course it's going to be this way. Because, again, we're in the time period of the book of Revelation. People can deny it or anything. But what we have to do, and this is what you're talking about, equipping of the saints doesn't start here. It starts here, and it starts from above. Even though the disciples walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they slept with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, Jesus breathed into the breath of the Spirit of God. He also said, you got to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Does it surprise you, as a man of the word, a scholar, in my opinion, and many others, that doesn't it surprise you that the secular press is using more biblical terms, apocalyptic, Armageddon, end of the world, end of the age? They're using more apocalyptic terms than most pulpits in America. Will you address that?
Oh, absolutely. Laodicea does not like end time prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, you know, over the years, over the decades that I've been doing with Biblical Life College and Seminary, I basically, like most speakers, will have your yearly route that you go and you speak at different colleges and different churches. And I've been doing it for decades. What blew me away is when the Shinar Directive came out, I was surprised at how many places I didn't get invited, that I normally went every single year, because the best life now crowd does not like end time prophecy. You know, we can't scare the saints. Well, how about toughing them up, because we're about ready to march into things that even the prophets of old looked forward, you know, looked to see what was really going on and comprehending it. The church, I don't even want to call it church. It's because it's churchianity. It's not the body of Christ.
How about claimants, okay? Christian claimants who forget who has the right to lay the original claim, Jesus Christ. So go ahead.
Absolutely. We've created this machine of making everybody feel better, of making, you know, giving everybody warm fuzzies and calling that the gospel, when the gospel is made to slap you upside the head. And guys, even after you get saved, the word of God is first to correct you. And if it doesn't correct you, then it can't equip you. And it has rejected end time prophecy, even while we're watching it unfold so quickly. Steve, I remember back in the 90s, I could probably spend maybe an hour a month, you know, writing down things. Okay, this may be a prophecy fulfilled. I don't have enough hours in the day anymore. I really need a staff of about 5 or 6 people just going through the news feeds and just looking at how prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes, while the church is rejecting end time prophecy and the very the word phrases that we talk about, end time prophecy, apocalyptic situations. The world is proclaiming it because they know that's where we're headed. And they're almost proclaiming it with a pride.
Yeah, wow. And they know where we're headed. Go ahead, Doug, because I don't want
to. No, you know, it's just, it's to me, it's I use the word amazing a lot, and I use the word wow a lot, but I don't know. I'm out of adjectives. When I look at the news, and you look at how quickly things are evolving, Dr. Lake, I mean, you really laid a great foundation, ademically, pre-ademically in your books and in your works and such. What we're seeing is kind of an outgrowth or an evolution of that time period, which again goes back to the conference or addresses the conference, your presentation and others, as well with current events. Which I really, again, urge people to get the live streaming, and that's at gen6.com. Go ahead, Steve. I'm going to shut up now.
Well, and because Dr. Lake is the systematic layer outer of the flow of history, Michael, will you address to the pre-Adamic era? We don't have to go into the words and stuff, but when Jesus said, just as in the days, you know, of Noah, and the coming of the Son of Man, he likened them to the same. But that is a flashpoint for people that don't want to deal, in my opinion, with biblical history, biblical reality, or contemporary prophecy being fulfilled. And also, I've made the statement, you may not have heard it, maybe you did, but I said the reason the church hates prophecy is because the book of Revelation declares that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Seeker-friendly, heretical, what I would call Ichabodian institutions, there you go. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from this place. But again, address why, when Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, that which will be again. And again, the pre-Adamic era, the word that really comes to my mind is corrupt. And aren't we seeing corruption, in your opinion, in all the dimensions? So that's kind of a 4-point question, you know, but take it wherever you want to take it, because I think people need to understand from you, you know, how you see it. Because this conference, I'm on record, after the conference that we're coming up on May 15th and 16th, it'll be live stream. Everything will change. The headlines will echo what you and I and the other presenters are talking about. We watched it happen with the UFO phenomenon. We watched it. Remember I said after, and it's not what I'm saying. What God is doing is preparing his people. But when God's people reject knowledge, they get destroyed by the rejection. It's not that God doesn't love his people. So take it in whatever period of time you want to take that.
You know, when you look at it historically, I even look at the time in Genesis 6 where we had the watchers coming down. And we see something of God's almost unfiltered wrath. There is something about when these beings show up, there is a wrath of God that has been only experienced once in the history of humanity. Once. And I think it goes back even to the pre-Adamic between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and we can go into a lot of things about that. But there is evidence within our solar system, and I know, Steve, you've talked about that, that when you look at our solar system, a planet was destroyed. Mars was decimated. That we have, I think it's Uranus is actually, its axis is setting on its side because there was something that came through the unfiltered wrath of God at these immortals. And one of the things I think that we see in the book of Revelation is they are brought back on the scene and they are involved very heavily, not just principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, but watchers and probably even things that we can't even begin to comprehend are going to be thrown out of the second heaven. And they're going to be here in this first heaven involved in this warfare to fulfill the prophecy of Psalms 82. And when these things begin governing man rather than the Spirit of God, then we come under the wrath that is due them. And so that's why it's so important to understand the pre-Adamic race. That's why it's so important to understand Genesis 6. And Steve, if you're truthful, two of the things that are most obscured in theology today is the pre-Adamic race and Genesis 6, because if we don't understand those dynamics, we're not going to understand what's going to unfold in the book of Revelation.
Agreed. And the law first mentioned, especially in Genesis, the first couple chapters. And I don't think, Michael and Doug, that people rightly put into the historic context and the prehistoric context. One of the things I'll be sharing at Branson is the Sumerian Table of Kings. Basically they talked about when the kingship descended from heaven. And some of these kings lived like 38,000 years. And they were literally chronicled with such exacting detail. But the word that is preeminent in my mind is that the Jesus in saying it was just in the days of Noah. I don't think people understand that the devil, the Illuminati, the globalists, the Satanists, the technocrats, they all want the ultimate destruction of he whom God created in his image and likeness, originally Adam. They're doing everything they can. Doesn't matter if they're poisoning the food, the vaccines, the atmosphere, the water, everything they can do to kill, to bring 7.8 billion people down to 500 million. And the problem that people have, I think, is not getting a big enough view. And that's why it's so critical, ladies and gentlemen. And Doug, thank you, for your support in this, that it's so critical to bring, in my opinion, this isn't a statement of anything other than people that are willing to stand up, they're willing to speak up, and we don't eat kitty litter, or we don't use kitty litter, or eat kitty mix. Because, let God arise and his enemies be scattered is what the scripture says. But Dr. Lake, I'm asking, when will God's men arise? And my answer is probably going to be the same as yours, when the power of the Holy Ghost hits them. Because until that time, there's nothing in us that can overcome the world that's come against us.
I was reading some memoirs of some men that went through World War II. And they basically said this in these memoirs, that hard times create men that can move mountains. Soft times create men with soft answers.
Wow.
And it's like, well, I need to highlight that. I need to use that in my next book. And we have been cushioned and pampered in Laodicea for so long that the men have become effeminate, if you will, not only in things within our food that lowers our testosterone levels and everything else, but we have become mentally soft. And I don't see that in the book of Acts. And it's going to take a time of the fire of God and persecution and just a lot of different crazy things that is going to have to toughen men up. And I think we're going to have to go through a period of boot camp for God. For the remnant right now that have been listening to God and yielding, they've already been going through boot camp. There's a lot of them that are going to be thrown into boot camp as unwilling participants if they don't get their act together. And a part of the process of boot camp, if you've ever been in the military, is to tear down who you were, a pampered self within civilian life, so that a soldier could be built in its place. And I think that for a large portion of the body of Christ, we're getting ready to be thrown into the mix of that boot camp scenario.
I would consider, obviously you've been in the military, I haven't, but I would consider the information that people have gotten, thanks to Doug providing all of the different speakers from all different platforms, access to the people. You probably saw too, Tucker Carlson even picked up Doug's case, and for Doug being censored. And when we tell people we're being censored, the day will come when our ability to do what we're doing right now, Michael, won't be any longer. I have it in my heart. I have it such a, people said, ha ha, God, you can't go do your conference, the mockers, the scoffers. But what was interesting, I knew. And then when I found out why the original date of July, why we had to move it to May, it was profound. That's when obviously the World Health Organization bonds come due. There's a whole lot of stuff that's going to be happening in July. And we are in unparalleled times. You've heard me say this probably 100 times, but you're articulate enough to maybe put it in a language that I've been unable to. We have a parameter that's between my two index fingers. Every one of us, we have that comfort zone. Let's call it a CZ, a comfort zone. You know, I'd rather have it be a CZ than a KZ, a kill zone, okay? So I want to change the comfort zone that we're in to a, you know, to take it out. If we stay in our comfort zone, it turns into a kill zone. And those who are in the military know specific kill boxes. That's where you make war on your enemy in a defined area with a defined plan. How do we, you and I, you're an educator, I'm a researcher. So I guess I'm a researcher, but, you know, whatever I am. Who knows what I am, you know? Chaos surrounded by a conundrum, initiated in a perplexing manner. The thing is that how do we put into context for people that which there's been no historic reference to? We can liken it unto something, but Jesus said there's never been a time like it nor would be again, except the days be shortened for the elect days, for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. So I'm asking you, how do we take this box that most people in Christianity, and we're only addressing Christians right now primarily, are comfortable in and say, listen, you guys, imagine those fingers in the room, whatever room you're in, and imagine that context no longer exists. And now you're in a context where there is no affirmation or even the ability to put everything back into your box because you're thrown into something beyond your ability to even recognize at first. Does that make the question make sense?
It does, you know, and if I think in the last few years, God has been trying to raise up the remnant and doing a lot of things. And the Holy Spirit is very skilled at taking us out of our comfort zone. And for those of us that have yielded to the process, we have begun to bear fruit. And still we're finding out that we're being pruned. You know, when Jesus was teaching on pruning, he said, listen, if you bear fruit, you're pruned. If you don't bear fruit, you're pruned all the way to the ground. And so, you know, the prophetic word of the hour is you're pruned if you do and pruned if you don't. It's just the extent of the pruning. If we will yield to the Spirit of God to take us out of our comfort zone right now, to grow, to really see what's going on, to find out what he really wants for us in our life, and to be strengthened with might on the inner man, then we don't have to do it the hard way. And Steve, I think what we're going to see in the days ahead, those that have been prepared, those that have heard God, that have been paying attention to what is going on, God has already been working a dynamo of power on the inside of them that they have become warriors. Those that have not, God is getting ready to say, you know what? I offered you the easy way, but now you're going to have to do it the hard way. And it was not my choice. It was yours, but I'm doing it because I love you and I have a purpose for you in your life.
Well, and that's really critical because even with what I know, even with, you know, what all of the speakers collectively know, there's still stuff that lies out of our, and here's the thing. King David said, I won't exercise myself in matters too great for me. But I think the problem is, Michael, we need to get God's perspective on the end times. We need to get God's perspective on the issues of the day. And quite candidly, and I'm on record of saying this, there's no political solution to a spiritual problem. I have seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you see a whole different world than I do, just by the people you interface with. You know, we each have our spheres of influence and they come together for times like this. But there is no sense that America has done that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, in my opinion, on a corporate level. Even people who looked for a king, just like, you know, they rejected Samuel and they wanted a king like all the other nations, we still are in a phase where people still believe there is a political solution to a spiritual problem. And I personally don't believe that, okay? I believe that God gave us this time to basically take a look at our own lives. Take a look at our nation. Everything in this country that was foundationally important, the freedom, liberty, where church bells once rang out, now you've got the call from the minarets in some of the cities around the United States, the Muslim call to prayer, where Jesus used to be exalted, acknowledged, and I'll even go to this, really worshiped in real songs. Great is thy faithfulness. There's power in the blood. Now you've got, if you will, a contemporary mindset that is so divorced from history, so divorced from reality, doesn't understand the faith of the fathers, doesn't understand how Christianity even came, and by the hand of God, who are going to be thrust into the most difficult situations. Does it bother you, Michael, that when Jesus talked about the enemy of a man's own life will be those of his household. Does that bother you? Because I'm seeing it based on the emails. And I get, you know, hundreds and hundreds a day. So, and people desperate for a touch of God. If you can kind of encapsulate that and address it.
Well, you know, that same situation happened even in the day of the early apostles, that households were turned upside down against each other. You know, there was evidence the apostle Paul was actually married because he had to be married to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So when he became a follower of Jesus, his family had a funeral for him. His wife was given a written a divorce. He lost everything because he was following Jesus. And we have seen that throughout church history. One of the things that I have been shouting from the housetop, Steve, is we have got to go by the Spirit of God. I'm not looking for somebody that even may be doctrinally point by point where I'm at, because their hearts can still be wrong. I'm looking for men and women that have kindred spirits, that I can sense the Spirit of God burning in them the same way that the Spirit of God is burning in me. And it's not lip service. It is something that is witnessed by the Holy Spirit. And there are going to be families divided over this. I mean, just look at the conservative versus progressive thing going on in America. You're having families being divided over all these things. It's going to get worse in the days ahead, because there is a war going on for whose ideology is going to win. Is the Word of God going to win? Is the kingdom of God going to win in the minds of men? Or are they going to embrace darkness? We have to be very cognizant of that, as well as it's in the church just as much as it's outside the church. I am perplexed by a lot of the modern music. You know, one of the things that I think we ought to take every one of these psalmists and say, okay, first thing you need to do is go through some systematic theology before you're allowed to write a song, because it is so biblically inaccurate, it frustrates me. In our own little fellowship, Mary and I many times have to rewrite a song that we like before we can sing it in the fellowship, because it's theologically wrong. One of them is, you know, Jesus robbed the grave. He did not rob the grave. He conquered the grave. He beat the snot out of the grave and put his foot on top of it as he stepped out and had conquered death. That is not robbery. That is a king conquering. And if we forget that, then we begin forgetting the God that we're serving. And so I think God is going to put some spiritual glasses on us so that we can start seeing truth. And whatever he has got to bring us through to get us to the place to where we're only serving Jesus, and that we're living by the Word of God, he is going to do for the sake of his body and the sake of his great name in the earth.
Amen. Wow. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Doug. Just let me know when you want to speak, because no, I don't want
to. I'm fine. You know, this just to me is really exciting and really important information. So I just I get carried away. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, again, the necessity of being, you know, scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If you kick out Jesus, and he has been kicked out of the pulpit, and I can tell you this, in the American church, he came unto his own and they received him not. I'm telling you, where there is no Jesus, there is no Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's job is to uplift Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Jesus said he won't speak of himself, he'll speak of me. The seeker-friendly church, when I hear those terms, I say, yeah, you're going to have a lot of friends in hell. You're judgmental. You would never, God would never do that. I said, listen, let me tell you a neat parable. I said, if you got a problem with it, take it to the Lord in prayer. It's a parable Jesus told about the rich man and the beggar, you know, Lazarus. And the point is that the bottom line is that religion, in my opinion, Dr. Lake, is the most dangerous thing in the world, because Jesus came to show the difference between a personal relationship with him and, quote, the religious. Look, I got news for you. I heard it this way. I thought it was true. If a mouse is in a cookie jar and is filled with chocolate chips, that doesn't make the mouse a chocolate chip cookie. And by the way, chocolate-covered mice don't taste good. But the point is that there are a lot of people that hang out, and there is no osmosis in the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get close to God by hanging out with religious people. You get close to God on your face, on your knees, in your prayer closet, with your hands lifted up. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, it truly is important when you're being equipped. And this is one of the things too, the purpose of the Gen 6 conference this year. Look, I don't know that there'll be another one. I think situations have become problematic. You're seeing Doug get censored every day. I'm censored more and more and more. Pirates can steal your stuff and put it up on YouTube, but you can't. So I don't even post on YouTube. And I think this is important. I say it. I post on Brighteon, Mike Adams. I do not post on YouTube. There are people taking pirated and distorted videos of mine and putting them out. And even a well-known a guy on YouTube, a lot of good stuff, he can't discern. And so here's the thing. We have the necessity to be trained as soldiers. And that's what Dr. Lake was referring to at the beginning of this show. But Dr. Lake, let me ask you this. How many Christians, and please, because it's we're contending for the faith right now. Would you agree with that? We're
Absolutely.
Contending for the faith. How many Christians really believe that we are in the end times and that they've been subjugated? You know, when people said, I watched what's his name, Rick Warren, talk about his book was more popular or as popular as the Bible. And I said this, purpose-driven church. I said, I heard a fabulous Scottish preacher one time in his brogue accent say, never forget, lads, that the devil drives, a good shepherd leads. Purpose-driven church. And if I were to write a rebuttal, it'd be over the cliff. Because again, look, he made the statement. I'm not mischaracterizing. I'm just saying, who am I? I'm just somebody that has the testimony of Jesus. And so what we're contending with, Dr. Lake, is all of the ancillary issues that have made it so that God's people can't think anymore. And so the subject matter of cataclysms, look, you mentioned the planet between Mars and Jupiter, the planet Rahab, Astra. Now, every day is more worries about asteroids, comets, where you were worried about one, now you're going to be worried about 19 of them. One splits up and another shows up. We've got signs in the heavens, sun, moon, and stars, distress in nations, 45 volcanoes going off at once. I can go on and on and on. But still, Jesus is the only one, not Nostradamus, not Mother Shipton, not some Catholic visionary from the 15th century. I'm telling you, only Jesus nailed it as exactly as it is, as it's playing out, and as it will come to pass. Go ahead, sir.
You know, when I look at the body of Christ today, I think maybe 10% has awakened. Really about 10%. In fact, when I first started, trying to make my calculations, I thought the 80-20 principle would kind of fall into play because it seems to fall in so many places. Tell you the truth, we're lucky right now if we're at 10% because everybody is in their comfort zone. I think that in the midst of this, with what's going on with this pandemic, whether it is, and I think it is orchestrated. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's now 30 strains out. One strain is actually 50 times more, has a 50 times greater viral load than the ones where people just got the sniffles. This thing that they were originally saying it didn't mutate that fast. Now it's mutating faster than rabbits breed, which also makes a, which also
or,
makes.
Or liberals vote faster. Yeah. Than rabbits breed or liberals vote.
Yeah, every liberal participated in the election by voting 15 times. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. Some of the things that are reassuring to me, or at least some good signs, when this whole lockdown first started and we were allowed to go to Walmart, of course you couldn't find toilet paper anywhere. You couldn't find any paper products for some reason. Everybody thought if they had enough toilet paper, they could withstand the apocalypse or something. One of the things that did give me hope is the book section at Walmart, there wasn't a Bible to be found. And I'm hearing that all across the country is that places are selling out of Bibles, that people are beginning to wake up. I think that we're going to return to the gospel. But for this day and this hour, we need to go to the fifth gospel. And the fifth gospel is the book of Revelation. It is It is a revelation of Jesus given to the bondservants of Christ, which means in the end time, Steve, we had gotten so far off, we forgot who he was.
Amen. Or even worse, friendship with the world is enmity with God. That's what I see the scripture saying. And more people want to be accepted. Look at the Faces of Death book, okay? Look at this social isolation, the emotional isolation, people's total identity limited to a screen, either that one or this one. You know, I call these helophones, okay? H-E-L-L-O-P-H-O-N-E-S. And if someone that you've never met forms a completely inaccurate picture of you because of their own problems, there are people committing suicide because they get what's it called, defriended? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you understand, God has put us into an empiric real world. Mankind and the technocrats have basically taken us out of the real world, divorced us from history, divorced us from the Word of God, and put us into what I would call a technological hellhole and allowed everything other than reality to influence our lives. Everything influences our lives for the worst outside of reality.
Yeah, and if you're like me, I don't care if someone befriends me or not, because I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I make you upset with something I said and you want to say something bad about me or whatever, you can go stand in line, but the line starts about 10 miles down the road.
Yes.
Because
Doug and I have found that out.
You know, both of us are doing our job. That's why we need to toughen up. That if you and I weren't doing our job, we would not make people that are fleshly upset. We would make the world upset. You wouldn't be censored right now for the things that you're saying unless it's coming very, very close to the truth. And they're afraid it's going to wake people up. That's why this conference is spot on. You've brought together, if you will, it's almost like a council or a council that's going to begin sharing intelligence briefing in time. And sometimes, because we're looking at things from maybe different viewpoints, we may even have some conflicting ideas about things. You know what, Steve? That's good. You know, when I was in the military, I saw generals and sitting at intelligence briefing. I was just enlisted. Okay. So I was more running the slideshows. I wasn't giving the briefings, but I saw the general and in fact, I saw one time a general got mad because he said, "Don't tell me what I want to hear. I want to know what's really going on. And I want your opinions, even if they contradict one another. I want all the information so that I can make a proper decision on what we're supposed to do." And that's what these conferences are about. We may look at a piece of data, and you may see one thing, I may see another. But if the Spirit of God is moving through all this, it creates what Hebraically is called a minion. That where there's enough men together, there's enough women together filled by the Spirit of God, that as we listen to this information, we can begin ferrying out the pieces of the puzzle. And there may even be things, Steve, that the elite are really trying to hide from you and I both. But as these presentations go forth and we're listening to the Spirit of God, God will reveal even that which they want to hide the most.
Well, I see it as, you know, God telling the prophet what the king thought in his bedchamber at night. Obviously, the king said, "Who's against me?" He thought his own servants were betraying him. And the one was smart to save his life. He said, "Not us, king, but there's that guy, that prophet of God over there, that everything you think in your head at night, he makes known, you know." And then the king said, "Go and fetch him." You remember the whole story. Yeah. And the thing I think that's important, ladies and gentlemen, right now too, you know, we are dealing with a Chinese problem. I posted the other day, Michael, this situation by a guy named Hao Tian, H-A-O-T-I-A-N, maybe Hao Tian. He said the Chinese are preparing to invade America. They're preparing to kill every man, woman, and child. They make no excuse for that. The Chinese doctrine, I wrote a book 20 years ago, Breathe No Evil, on biological and chemical weapons, researched it. It was when the big ones came out, Richard Preston, The Hot Zone, Lori Garrett, Coming Plague. I mean, those guys were doing a great job. I did it more for the radio talk show audience, shortwave audience, to bring him into this world real quickly. But in 1995, you know, it was imperative that people understand the world changed with the sarin nerve gas attack by the Aum Shinrikyo cult in Tokyo. Jumping forward now, there is a complete change of story every other day coming from the Chinese. There is a complete lack of even basic math skills. You can't have more people dead in the United States with our diet, our medical care, and everything that, and compare it to China, and China's claiming they have less dead than us. You can't look at satellite photos. You are in military intelligence. You know, the military depends on photos because they can see things that not from this level, a horizontal plane, but they can see it from this looking down on it. So you can't have massive thermal signatures of furnaces burning bodies or mass graves like in Iran, satellite photos, and the real details on those things is almost beyond my ability to describe what kind of resolution. I mean, we're talking lenses and satellites that cost $1 billion. $1 billion. Not the satellite, the lens for that satellite. So, you know, the problem is that there's no, I guess what I'm saying, you say 5%, I pray you're right. And it's not a question for us to number the remnant. But I think, you know, as we transition in the next part of the talk, that which remains, boy, I mean, you said God's going to prune the tree. I think he's going to take a chainsaw, you know, because, again, he'll do it specifically. And by the way, I'd trust God with the chainsaw rather than a lot of people that have tried to take a chainsaw after me, you know. But the point is that we're at this time period now where the Lord basically chastens those he loves. And I would hope that people will understand something. Again, what I guess I'm trying to say, too, is that the number one, I would say, affliction of the body of Christ is people don't want to take individual responsibility for their actions. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. We want to blame somebody else for it. When God nails us on stuff, he said, "You're the one, if I'm the one that did it." And I've even dealt with this with dealing with multiples that are, you know, victims of satanic ritual abuse or MK Ultra, whatever, that God is very clear. He holds what is done in the body responsible. You can't point down the road. You can't even point to another altar, if you will, if you're MPD. You have to take responsibility and you have to repent and get right with God for it. God holds us responsible for that which was done in the body. You know, another thing I want to contact on, it just dawned on me. You know, we know the end game, what the Chinese want. And some of the intelligence that I'm seeing come out, one intelligence agency actually said 21 million people could have easily died in China that is being covered up. And so, we may be getting into crunch time for them making their move. I've even wondered if various versions of this virus weren't planted, by people coming over, because there's over 30 different variants of the virus. At the same time, what do we see Democrats doing? They're trying to, like in Virginia, they're trying to destroy the Second Amendment. The last thing you want, if there is a possibility of an invasion, the last thing you want is not to have weapons of your own. So I have wondered, you know, if the deep state isn't really pushing this narrative with the Democrats for that very purpose, because the deep state owes no allegiance to any nationality. They own their allegiance to their masters that are pushing this one world government junk. And so that's why we need to get up and get loud about our opinions, whether it's taking guns, or I was even pleased that the president, when he saw that they were getting ready to kill chickens and kill cattle and eliminate a lot of the meat products, he said, no, I'm now giving a presidential order. You can't close your plants. There's no reason to kill those animals. Let's get them to market. You see, if we will stand up and be heard and move in righteousness, we can impede some of their plans. But then I think the reason that they're getting done what they're getting done is, number one, they've done it in secret, and they have placated the body of Christ to the place where we don't stand up. We don't hold our ground. We don't do what we're supposed to do. And I think if we get very vocal about things, and first of all, it has to be spiritually done. You do it. You do what the Spirit of God is telling you. Make sure you're right with God. And you're moving in the power of God. But when you do, your voice makes a difference.
One of the chief things that I guess is my before the Lord. And I believe there is righteous indignation. I believe also you can be angry and sin not. I'm working on the sinning not part and separating the anger. But the lack of concern for our Lord and Savior, the lack of God's people standing up. I think it was a truck driving woman that when they had that horrible display of Jesus, she went and smashed the case a couple years ago with a crowbar. And I thought, that lady's a hero in my eyes. She is. And the thing is that if people want to, by the way, I coined the term and I think it fits, jellyfishians, okay? A jellyfish has no backbone. It basically is a glob of matter with tentacles, and tentacles touch everything. Obviously, that's how they capture the food. And I call it jellyfishianity, okay? And jellyfishianity just means they go whatever the flow, whatever the current, and whatever contemporary current is in the day, that's what they appropriate and try and be, quote, friends with the world. I do not believe that anybody, I would say this, 95% of those who are claiming Christianity in one form or the other, doesn't matter, Protestants, Catholics, have no clue of the spiritual warfare. Except the Catholics do acknowledge one thing the Protestants never got together, and that's demon possession. I pay attention to the exorcists. The exorcists are saying, you know, in the Catholic Church, there's so many people demon possessed. We need more exorcists. No, they need more of Jesus. That's my opinion. But, you know, again, what we're seeing now, in my opinion, is the outplaying. And how do you personally deal, Dr. Lake, with the scripture that basically the devil, it said, and God gave him power to make war on the saints and overcome them? Because that's a real dilemma and a real perplexity, because I hear people saying, well, what's the use? You know, do you hear my question?
I do. And I think it's part of toughening up.
Okay.
Until whether we're trying to build muscle, build spiritual muscle or anything else, you can't do it unless you have resistance. And the end game is Daniel 11:32, that at the height of when the Antichrist is at the zenith of his power, that there's going to be those that are in God's special forces that are going to go toe to toe with the Antichrist and hold the line. That is the prophetic end game.
That's a good point, because again, when Gary Cole, the guy that was the director and producer of that Chuck Missler piece, that Distant Thunders, when he was almost harassed unto death by the three-letter agencies, local cops and everything. You know, I think if you didn't hear me say this, you need to hear it, because Doug's audience has heard it. The number one thing they tried to get out of him, and the bottom line is they were concerned with who the two witnesses were and where they're at. Because they want, and I know that sounds crazy, but by the grace of God, people prayed for Gary, but I can tell you this, they pushed that guy. And I mean, all I can say is this, the two witnesses, in my opinion, will show up concurrently with the revealing of the AC. They don't show up and go, hey, I'm Elijah. Hey, I'm Enoch. Hey, good to see you guys. Been away for a few thousand years, but we're back. You know, I mean, there's this ludicrous expectation. And then, by the way, in the years of being on talk radio, I've probably received multiple phone calls and them transitioning the internet of people saying, I'm one of the two witnesses. And then I will say to you, well, who's the other one? And they'll say, well, I don't know. Can you tell me, and where's he at? I said, well, you know, that's a true story. People think that I make this stuff up. Oh, no, there's no limit to crazy times at Steve's email. So, again, the two witnesses, the time of the end, the Pope. Let me ask you this. The Pope has set himself out as the greatest antagonist to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the tenets of faith, even the Catholic faith. He's embracing total Marxist and Leninist, thought processes, calling for a global religion, a global currency, and global rule. What's your take right now on that? Because years ago, I'm on a record, I said there's a war coming to the Catholic Church, and it'll start out with rhetoric. It'll end up with bullets and guns. What's your take?
I think we are going to see that. You know, I'm old school Baptist. You know, before I got spirit filled, I surrendered at 13. So I cut my teeth on B.H. Carroll and a lot of the old Baptist theologians. And the Pope was the false prophet. And I am still convinced that mechanism there is for the false prophet, and I think even Catholic theologians have been fearful of that raising up within their institution, and we're seeing it today. This guy is so anti, not only anti-Protestant, but even anti-biblical in so many different ways, and has not only drank the Kool-Aid, but I think he's manufacturing the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, my guess is too, he's throwing in some mushrooms, a little LSD, you know, maybe, you know, just basically making a brew. You know, obviously before, what's the name of the Catholic theologian that died, the final conclave, very famous. Doug, do you remember who I'm talking about?
You're not talking, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Thanks for that.
Malachi Martin.
Thank you. Yes. Windswept House.
Yeah. Windswept House, okay. A Keys to This Blood. He was very much telling people before his death about the supernatural run-ins he was having. And the people that don't know about him, they're Catholics that say, oh, he was a heretic and blah, blah, blah. But the guy really was aware of spiritual warfare and obviously cost him his life. Something basically kicked him or pushed him down the stairs. Obviously, he died as a result of the injuries in his life. But he was warning about the 13th seat. He was warning about the final, if you will, control of human intervention in the Catholic Church. That would be open to debate. But the point is that he made the claim that everything would change after that. And, you know, Michael and Doug, everything changed after that, even within the Catholic Church. And so now you've got a situation where we have entities in place. And by the way, my definition of entity, I believe fallen angels take human form. I don't know how long they can stay in that form. Paul tells us even Satan can present himself as an angel of light. I'm looking for that answer. But here's the deal. You cannot explain the proliferation of evil, the control of evil, the passing down of evil, and the plot, looking from a temporal standpoint of just Rockefeller was this guy, Bush was this guy. They all, how do they say it? They all surrendered themselves to the dark forces. And now we have, in essence, the skull and crossbones. You know, that was the secret society at Yale, and all the presidents and all the powerful guys belonged to it that went to Yale. And now we basically have political piranhas and pirates on the Potomac of self-indulgence. That's a mouthful. But America is being hijacked. We're being plundered. We're being pillaged. And I do not believe that people can, even at this point, again, I'm open to correction, okay? I mean that honestly, that I don't think people understand that judgment is in the land. God's not letting the blood of the innocents go unchecked now. God's not letting the murders, the intrigue, the false witness, the false weights. People are, and God's had enough of it. And when God arises, I think, and this I need to address too, if you don't mind, when God arises, that's not a good thing. He arises to judge the earth. Go ahead, sir.
In fact, as you were saying that, I was thinking of one of the prophets that everybody was talking about the day of the Lord like it's going to be a wonderful thing. And he said, listen, the day of the Lord, will anybody even survive? It's going to be the darkest of dark days. We need to understand that. Two things that I have been crying out for, and I think because there is not going to be a political solution now. A political solution could be empowered by a revival.
Yes.
Okay. That is a possibility. Two things that came up in my spirit. Number one, what really causes the difference in spiritual warfare? In fact, I'm getting ready to write on this in my next book. And it is maturity. So, Steve, there's been a lot of things that I have seen that people have called spiritual warfare that is nothing more than kids playing in a nursery.
Agreed. Oh, brother, agreed. Oh, say it, brother. Say it again. I'm just kidding.
I was at one conference, and part of the conference went great, and they were going to do spiritual warfare. They went and got a net, like a fish net, and they got some anointing oil, and they were bouncing that bottle of oil back and forth across the net, calling that spiritual warfare. No, it wasn't. You know, when I was in the military, you know, every GI's is issued an M16. Now, whether you get very many bullets or not depends upon how good of a soldier you are. At the same time, the proficiency and maturity of the individual depended upon if they got upgraded weaponry. You know, right now we need some guys that have those big 155 howitzers in the kingdom of God that when they pray, it shakes hell itself. And to be truthful, Steve, with what I've seen in the maturity level in the body of Christ, Most of them are either running around with squirt guns and BB guns, believing they have on the full armor of God, and they're out there running around in their BBDs if they're lucky.
I see, you're kinder than I am, brother. I would say this. They're running around in adult-size Kimbies. And I'm not making fun of anybody that has incontinence, okay? But what I'm saying is they never grew up, and that's how I'm saying this. And the deal is that you cannot expect the battle to go to that mindset. Now, Gideon, let's take Gideon, okay? God, I think, gave us a really cool understanding of Gideon and the principle that God looks, because Gideon was looking for not only the condition of their heart, but the condition of their body. Who took water to their mouth and keeping alert versus who bowed down and lapped water like a dog, okay? Well, we got to quit basically lapping water like dogs, okay? Draw the blessing, draw the anointing to ourselves, and in essence, be ready for the fight. Nehemiah is the best role model I know. He's building what God called him to build, but he didn't put his spear down. He was ambidextrous, you know? He was ambidextrous. He had a trowel in one hand and a spear in the other. And they were ready to battle while they were building. Boy, that's a title for your next book. Ready for battle while we're building. I'm just kidding. The thing is that I don't think people understand. And by the way, I believe in revival. I've studied all the great revivals in history. Was part of the Jesus movement. And that was a genuine revival. It was going on concurrently with the Indonesian Christian revival through a guy named Meltari, miracles, etc. But one of the things, Doug, that I learned about this, and I learned it really quickly coming out of the Jesus movement, is that God was doing it in the revival. When people took what God was doing and wanted to put a, you know, top on the can, label it Assembly of God, label it First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, you know, I said, why don't you guys just call yourselves John the Baptist, okay? But the point is that the amount of religious, what would you call it? Trappings, you know? And I'm not talking genuine stuff. I'm talking fake stuff, just like the fishing net, you know? I mean, I've watched deliverance sessions turn into gossip sessions. The demon says one thing, and people keep asking the questions like they're looking to date a demon. I know that sounds crazy, you know? But a familiar spirit is familiar, and that familiar spirit, to the degree the person is not surrendered to the Spirit of God, becomes comfortable, does it not?
It does. And I think one of the biggest problems is trying to do deliverance when you have a whole passel on the inside of you that start coming into the agreement with the one you're trying to cast out. That's why you have the gossip sessions.
Yep.
Read the book of Acts. I mean, they fasted and prayed before they decided whether they're going to need to fast and pray or not. that was a part of their culture. And dealing even with the fire of God, initially comes into every believer's life, not when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's something different. It comes when you're saved if you have let conviction and repentance do its work.
Wow. Before moving on, Dr. Lake, if I can just ask this, and Steve as well, I apologize for interrupting, but when you were just talking here moments ago about the revival, there's different, obviously, different arenas that we find ourselves in concurrently. You know, you've got the political arena, the spiritual arena. You had said something about a spiritual revival being possible, potential. In the political arena, we're so divided. There are people saying, look, there will be justice. Just trust us. Trust the plan. Trust whatever. But there will be justice. And others are saying none. And there's that division is growing by the day. And I see this with the Christians. There's some saying, look, we're going to have a revival. Just hang on because a revival's coming. And others are saying, no, that's fallacy. Can both be true? Can things happen at the same time? I mean,
go ahead, Michael.
You can have a great falling away and a great revival at the same time.
All right.
That is historically because it's in a sense separating the chaff from the wheat. In one sense, I think we're in the midst of a beginning of revival now. It is forcing people to rediscover their families and rediscover God and to begin to pray. And God has taken away a lot of their niceties. But this, I think the last end time revival is going to be a revival birthed by fire. And it's not just the fire of revival, but the fire of judgment. Well, I think we're entering into a time. I think that's why God has been trying to deal so diligently with the body of Christ. And I know Steve has been screaming on every channel he can get on. I know, Doug, you've been doing your work. All of us have been looking for every medium that we can to shake and wake the church. Because one of the things that we need to set back in context is that the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, the same fire that powered the apostles, the same fire that shook prison doors open, devoured Ananias and Sapphira. When the apostles, or when John the Baptist promised, he said, listen, the one coming after me, when he comes with the Holy Ghost and fire, he's on a threshing floor. Now, you say, well, that doesn't involve the church because, you know, Micah, in the book of Micah, it says that the threshing floor is going to bring the nations. We forget that King David, when he established a place to put the altar of God, he bought a threshing floor, and it was on that very spot that Solomon built the temple.
Amen.
The temple was built on the threshing floor, and there is getting ready to be a threshing floor experience in the body of Christ that we have not witnessed since the book of Acts. That there are going to be those that are not walking with God. They don't want to give up their system. They prefer their religion over the truth, and they're going to fire that the fire of God is going to judge them. But at the same time, those of us that have embraced the fire of God to cause repentance in our life, and Steve, I think you'll like this. You know, I'm looking at the tabernacle in the wilderness and how that if I'm born again, I've got the tabernacle within. That means all those pieces of furniture are there. The brazen altar is there.
Yes.
And because the body of Christ has not let conviction have its perfect work, to where we have the proper fire on the altar, either that altar is cold, or Steve, instead of allowing what we sacrifice to be reduced to ash, we've turned it into a barbecue pit so that it makes our sin more savory.
Wow. That's seasoned with some salt.
It is. And it has a good smoky flavor, but that doesn't mean it's not going to kill you, man. And right. So, but because of the grace of God, God is going to judge religiosity in America. God is going to judge the deep state. God is going to judge a lot of things. And either you embrace the fire now, because what I have found out is that there's wheat and there's chaff. And the interesting thing prophetically is God's wheat is fireproof.
Hmm.
But not the chaff.
Yep. Through the fire without burning. You know, we have almost that perfect example of that in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they heated the furnace, what, seven times hotter than normal? But those guys came out unscathed, and then everybody that wanted to throw them in the furnace went into the furnace. And I think that's the thing that people don't understand. God is doing, and what I have a thought that I want to share with you too, Dr. Lake. You know, everything we've taken for granted is now being taken away from us. Our liberty, we all took that for granted, you know. A lot of good men and women died to protect us, yet the horrors in history and modern education divorced everybody from it. It doesn't take a child to raise, or take a village to raise a child. It takes godly parents. And now notice the devils that are and the former or future occupants of the fiery lake, they are just set on destroying homeschoolers. I'll tell you this. In my opinion, you're going to see the American college system die. It's already dying. In Bozeman, Montana, we have Montana State University and, I don't know, 14,000 students, somewhere around there. Shut down, okay? Shut down. High school, shut down. And, again, people have got to understand something. And I'm on record as saying this. The people that I know, you know, who are in the know, claim there's a draft coming back because we're going to war with China, and the draft will involve women also, and it's going to be more like what were those gangs called in the days of the British seafaring where they went and just grabbed people off the street? Chain gangs or no, not chain gangs, but there's a word for it where they physically went and grabbed people to man their boats. Well, they're going to physically go and
Shanghai.
Yep. 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 That is the word. Thank you. So everything now, the illusion of a constitution, you know, when people say they can't do that, you know, what my response is, Doug, you know what it is. They've done it. They've done it. You cannot expect an abrogation of personal responsibility before the Lord first and then speaking out against it. And I don't know if you get emails like this, but it's always, why don't you and Hagman and Adams and whoever, you know, maybe you get spared that. Why don't you guys go do something? Why don't you start an armed revolution? I said, because the revolution won't work without the power of God. And remember this, the Chinese and the Russians, even Vladimir Putin's on record probably half a dozen years ago saying, Americans, never give up your guns. Never give up your guns. That was from Putin. And then you've got the Chinese as early as a year ago telling the Democratic senators, you've got to give up your guns. And they're going, ah, yes, we give up guns too. You know, the thing is that it's so insipidly wicked. It is so preposterously in our face. And yet people still think that, you know, it's good times will return to normal. There is no normal. The protein shortage is going to be off the charts. The food prices are going to be, you know, off the scales. The, quote, control that will be initiated in response to that is going to be beyond, if there's a planet Dracon from which the word draconian comes or dragon-like, it will be a dragon-like control. And ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese are on record saying they're going to eat your lunch, your children's lunch, and your grandchildren's lunch, and they don't have any qualms about killing you, your grandchildren, or your children or your grandchildren. Michael, it's getting really late, and the thing that I believe it's the mercy of God, the intercessors of God that are holding it back, but there's a time, a specific time, when God says enough, and when that time is released, then the red horse of the apocalypse, people aren't going to have to say, now, gee, is this the pale horse? Is this the white horse? No, this is the black horse. You know, I mean, people are arguing over what kind of saddle's on the four horses of the apocalypse, and they don't get who's riding them. You know, I'm serious. Go ahead.
Well, that, you know, which horse is riding right now? When we see the horses of the apocalypse riding, Ray Charles is going to be able to see it, okay? It's going to be like nothing that we have ever seen on the earth. You're going to wake up one morning and, oh, man, half a billion people died today. Okay, not 5,000, half a billion or three quarters of a billion people died. It's going to be so obvious because we will have never seen anything like it in history.
Right.
At the same time, Steve, I think what God is trying to call us to do, and I'm a big believer in what I call the four F's: faith, family, freedom, and firearms. Okay. And we need to fight for all four of those. Because we don't know what's coming. Our forefathers were, at least they were cognizant enough of knowing not only could we be invaded, but even our own government could turn against us. They saw that with Great Britain. And, we need to do that. We need to make sure that we're taking care of our family and be prepared to take care of others around us. But we also have to have discernment. We don't want, people coming in that, are spies unaware, if you will. That's why we've got to grow up. In the midst of this fire, I think we're going to see leaders begin raising up that would have been, as far as the world is concerned, least likely. You know, Steve, you know, look at you and I and even Doug. Could you imagine, you know, 40 years ago, somebody telling us we were doing what we would do now? I'd shake my head and say, no. I've got other plans. Then I can't see myself in that position. But it was the forge of God. The plan of God that he began releasing fire. He began putting situations. In fact, if you and I and Doug sat down and did some of the hell that we have been through and back, we could probably share for hours. But did you know what? It was that hell that the fire of God brought us through have made us the men that we are today, that all we're interested now in doing is the will of God and proclaim truth from the rooftops.
Well, I think that's really critical, too, because you know, what is it? Forged in the furnace of affliction. But the thing is that I honestly am concerned when public opinion seems to be more threatening than a biological weapon. By the way, I'm on record, Michael, and after the show, I'll send you something that I think you'll be amazed with. Pursuant to our talk in Branson a couple years ago, I'm being dug very obscure for a reason. COVID is the original pathogen. The Chinese weapon, using biological weapon, their entire idea was to start out with a long incubation period with virus one, shorten the incubation period with virus two, and give the final shot with virus three. As you know, it's not a tough one to put this virus chain under an electron microscope and see the actual genetic edit marks where, hey, here's coronavirus, but here's the AIDS virus, like an insert. The biological attack on America, listen, ladies and gentlemen, whether you believe it or not, that's Chinese policy. And they say so. They say so. I posted a New York Times essay yesterday from 11 years ago, and Ken Allebeck, who was the head of the Russian, this is important, the Russian bioweapons development program for the Soviet Union before he defected, talked about what they had back then. That was 11 years ago. So, gee, how can it be that people with a history of killing literally tens of millions of their own people, even just going back to Mao, but most people don't understand all the different dynasties in China, and China can actually trace its history back to 8,000 years. And they absolutely, those different emperors would kill 10 and 20 million people at a time. You know what the number one rule was? Famine. Or excuse me, the number one reason was famine. When Mao came to power, he promised everybody a bowl of rice, you know? And so now the point is, when you can't feed your people, because China's just undergone the greatest locust plague even in their history, it's gone into Vietnam, obviously originated in Africa, and there's three, this is interesting, there's three different, if you will, swarms of locusts. And what the locusts don't eat, listen, these guys are reproducing all the way along, putting their eggs in the soil, and not only of what they don't eat, the next group of locusts coming after them. Some of these things are 60 miles wide, 25 miles in length, 500 feet high. Think of that, 500 feet high. So they're swarming. And now the next plague, according to Exodus, is going to be obviously the great darkness that's going to come on the land. And, you know, spiritual darkness precedes literal darkness. And now we've got all the volcanoes going up, all that ash going in the upper atmosphere, producing a year like in, 1815, when Tambora went off, and that was called the year without summer. Growing season didn't happen, and it created a worldwide famine. And then you've got all the technology of the fallen angels being incorporated in weapon systems. You can bend light. You can make stuff look invisible. But again, all of these things are nothing compared to the darkness that is now emanating from those who have yielded themselves to the powers of darkness. You know, and again, you read Ephesians 6 and you're reading about all those heavenly entities, the principalities and the power of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Yet I go, Lord, we don't even see the spiritual wickedness in earthly places. And that's the issue. Again, I think it's critical that people understand this. What we're doing, Dr. Lake and Doug, again, God bless you and thank you for allowing us this forum. We're trying to equip the saints. But if the saints don't want to go into battle, I guess we need to look for the saints that do want to go into battle. You know, King David wouldn't wear Saul's armor, you know, but David at least had the anointing to say, I don't need that armor.
Why are Christians, and a lot of people want to know this, I think, why are Christians like conservatives so battle averse, so afraid to get contentious with the enemy, to engage the enemy, like we're tasked to do, I believe. Why is there such fear? Or is that too broad of a question?
I think initially it causes too many problems. There was one leading Baptist university that allowed one semester they taught on spiritual warfare. I'm thinking, hey, good. They're waking up to the, you know, welcome to the party, if you will. It caused such havoc on their campus, they shut down that class and never offered it again. It rocks the boat. It questions the status quo. And you can't do spiritual warfare when you're at the same time you're cavorting with the enemy.
Yeah, you can't sleep with the devil in the nighttime and then show up in the morning and go, hallelujah. You know, I mean, and that's what's literally happening. again, I don't think the full weight of this statement, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You want to address that? Because I think the deal is everybody wants to go along to get along. And I say, I hope you all go along and get along because I hope you like hell. There's no fear of God in the land. And you can say this, the entire scripture is predicated upon that the fear of the Lord is pure. It's clean. It's enduring. And I'm not talking about a fear like this. I'm talking about a fear like this. Honor, praise, glorifying the King of Glory. Will you address that?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that needs to return to the body of Christ. We fear man because we have lost our fear of God. Yet the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of understanding. And I think part of the entire process, when you begin understanding that every one of us were to function with the fire of God, and we don't have time to get into everything I'm getting into in the book, I'm just about to wrap up. But the whole process of the fire of God in our lives is to where we lose the fear of the world and we fear God. It's yielding into the process of God. That even the anointing oil, and Steve, you'll love this, the anointing oil that you had in the holy place, which represents our soul. The only way you can get it is through the crushing of the olive. There is a crushing of our carnality. There's a crushing of our pride. There's a crushing when we begin to realize just how great God is, that crushes our carnality, that crushes even what we think about ourselves. And out of that crushing comes the anointing that we need for the days ahead. And that whole process produces the fear of the Lord. Man, if you ever make it into the Holy of Holies, to where you're sitting there and you're bowing before the throne of God on the inside of you, you know, you and I have had those experiences that transcends space and time, if you will. Those where God is so real that the earth tends to fade around you and doesn't mean anything. It's at those moments the fear of God is established in our lives. And we know, and guys, when we look in the book of Acts, these people lost the fear of death.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't care how many likes or dislikes, and I know I have a couple people on our YouTube channel. I will barely get something up and four thumbs down will show up. I call it Bert, Ernie, and Friends. And I don't even know, if it's bots or whatever. I don't care. I don't care if I post something and nobody likes what I have said. If I have spoken by the Spirit of God and Almighty God is happy, then I'm satisfied. And every single one of us have got to get to that place because we got some hard judgments. There are people freaking out about the coronavirus right now. Absolute fear in the body of Christ. Absolute fear. You have quoted this verse so many times, Steve, that there are going to be things coming upon the earth that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, but it won't. The remnant will stir these things down. And so there has got to be a transition. The fear of the Lord produces fearlessness in the theater of battle. And I think that's one of the major things that God is going to do in the hearts of the remnant where we're at right now. And it's going to take his fire and it's going to take judgment. You know, even Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, everything that bound them was burned up in the fire.
Yep. Well, I think too, Michael, that I was just looking up the scripture while you were talking on the fear of the Lord, not being the beginning of wisdom, but that's one of the sevenfold functions of the Spirit of God. Yes. You know, the Spirit of God isn't just, oh, he's just the Holy Spirit, and I mean no disrespect to him, but the fear of the Lord is something that gets imparted just as the gifts of the Spirit. The fear of the Lord is an impartation of the Spirit. You can't just sit down and go, okay, I'm going to fear you now, you know? No, it's a gift. It's something, like you said, you bow in your heart. Now take that to the next step in the book of Hebrews. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the most mind-blowing thing I know. The high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies one day a year. He had to have ropes on his ankle. They had to have bells on his robe. They didn't hear the bells. They knew the guy was dead. They had to drag him out of the Holy of Holies. They couldn't go in and grab him. If they did, they'd die too. And the thing that's interesting, the Bible says that when the veil was rent in the temple at the resurrection, actually at the death and further resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was torn from the top down. Men always erect from the bottom up. They always build their temples on something, trying to reach towards heaven. God says, enough. He tore the, he rent the, I like that word, rent. Actually, I tore my shirt one time, a little enthusiastic when I was a new Christian. I thought, looking back, I thought, that was a good shirt. But anyway, the thing is that we're seeing that we have boldness to enter in the Holy of Holies. What the high priest could do once a year, they would read the word of God to him all through the night. He couldn't even have a wrong thought. I thought, well, I'd last like 1 second. The bottom line is, but God said, my blood covers you. You can enter into the Holy of Holies. What does Scripture say? Having boldness, brethren, to enter in. Therefore, enter in. I think that's one of the most, that blows my mind. There's cool stuff. I call it cool God stuff that blows my mind. That blows my mind. You want to address that? We have boldness to go in there?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, I don't think we really understand the dynamic of it. In the book of Hebrews, the altar of incense in Deuteronomy was in the holy place. In the book of Hebrews, it's in the Holy of Holies, which there has been a big debate among theologians why that was, and was he representing it on the Day of Atonement because that actually preceded the high priest? And one of the things I believe in my heart is that when the fire of God catches our altar of incense to where it's not, oh God, give me this, give me that thing. And we start praying and allowing Jesus to pray through us to where that fear begins to be there. It is that prayer life that transports us through the veil and brings us into the Holy of Holies. And guys, you can do that because you're a worshiper now. Or you can do it because your life is on fire and you've got to achieve that place. You know, the old timers used to call it praying through.
Yep.
And we're going to have to rediscover the power of praying through because it's what transports us into the Holy of Holies to where Jesus can begin interceding and pleading his case through us. And I have found out my greatest times in prayer had nothing to do with Mike Lake at all.
Well, it's kind of like the old song. When I first got saved, you know, I love the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I got to tell you something. The Jesus movement, and I know you don't go back and repeat, you know, former movements, but I've told my listening audience for this for 25 years. The coolest thing about the Jesus movement was that Jesus was the head of the movement. People didn't talk about going to church or even Bible studies. They got together in an organic fashion. They basically would worship the Lord in simple songs, usually C, F, and G, you know, or A, D, and E. They weren't concertos, but they were heartfelt thanksgiving. And what I noticed is as the spirit of thanksgiving, and most of these people, especially my generation, and especially the guys that came out of the world in my time, listen, we were poster children for grace. But the scripture says, they who have been forgiven much, love much. And one of the greatest things I know, you know, Michael, is the fact that we're reaching people all over the world. You know, when Gen 6 goes on, and Doug, you know this, but people all over the world tune into that, and they get something. I have a guy from Sweden, I forget his name right now, maybe it's Stefan, and he says, we're hungry for the word of God. Well, you know, the people are hungry, and Dr. Lake, I believe that this internet platform that God has provided and that he's given Doug to provide us for is literally a staircase to the world, because I've heard stories of people driving from the outback in Australia, and trust me, when they talk about outback, they're really outback, to just get the tapes from Awika Hagmans, and Doug, this is how cool God is. I got people saying, we're in Siberia, we're some town. You know, you can even get internet at the top of the world in Nepal. So God can get his message anywhere to anyone at any time. And that's where I believe the revival is going to take place. It may be in a hut up in the mountains of Tibet, and you wouldn't think there'd be Christians there. Yes, there are. It may be in some obscure place. I've even had people listen to me from the Antarctica. Well, my first question is, seen anything cool? You know, but the bottom line is that we're all over the word of the Lord. God knows who are his own. And, you know, I take umbrage, I guess it would be, with the people that say, well, the gospel hasn't been preached to the whole world. Yes, it has. It has. And even some of the most obscure language. I had an email the other day, Michael, someone said, can I translate some of your works into Urdu? And I said, you sure do. Pun intended. Urdu, a very obscure language, but this guy got touched. He's on fire for Jesus, you know? So again, the seven spirits of the living God, the sevenfold spirits of the Lord are so necessary, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of fear of the Lord. You know, it just is astonishing to me that people think that somehow, I'm going to get a puppet. And somehow, let's say this is a puppet or, you know, one of those wind-up robots after World War II that Japanese had. God doesn't want puppets. He wants people that are surrendered. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I call the sevenfold spirit of God, when we see it in the book of Revelation, seven is the number for completeness, for absolute. When we deal with the seven anointings of Messiah is another way when you look at Isaiah chapter 11, that the number and each anointing builds on the other. You can't get to the end one unless you go to the first one. And Steve, the very first one is the fear of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And that's the thing, you know, this is the thing, I guess if there's a dilemma in what I believe, I go out and look at the sky, you know, and I'm fortunate to be able to hang out on mountain peaks, not by my own effort, but because I photograph them and stuff. And just the wow and majesty. And you know, Michael, the wow, I defined that years ago as a wonder of his word, okay? And there is such a sloppy, lackadaisical approach to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It drives me crazy. Somebody calls God the man upstairs. I said, you better be careful. That's totally sacrilegious. You're going to end up with the devil downstairs, you know? And so our colloquialisms that the world dictates to us, I think they flaw our vision. You want to respond to that? Because what we're talking about is, look, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving you Jesus. And we're giving you to him in a biblical sense. And I pray the Lord's anointing what we say. Go ahead, sir.
You know, if we're going to return to understanding who Jesus is, we're not going to see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as he is now. That's the story of who he was. The first time he came was Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering servant. If you want to align yourself with who Jesus is and how he's going to reveal himself now, we have to read the book of Revelation. You know what blows me away is the same John that leaned his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. He heard the heartbeat of God. He Amen. Was so trusted by Jesus that on the cross, Jesus basically turned the care of his mother over to the Apostle John. So, I mean, if there was anybody that we would consider to be intimate with Messiah, it would have been John. He was not prepared for the Jesus that he saw in his revelation. He fell as a dead man. He was not prepared for the majesty, the authority, the power, the fire in his eyes. Steve, the church that Jesus is getting ready to almost resurrect from the point of being dead.
Good word.
Is a church that will understand that Jesus and be ready to stand beside him when he returns.
That's probably the most important thing. I think, you know, that statement is that I would call this. Now, I'm going to distort Latin here, but I'm going to call that criticus issuicus manifestus. OK, that is a critical issue that must manifest itself because and I love, you know, it's slang. But I used to hear the guys going, man, Jesus revealed himself to me. And man, I was like blown away. And I said, what happened? He said, well, this wind came in, literally. The wind came in. And I was just, I mean, something happened, you know? And then they come to me and ask what happened. I'm taking the book of Acts and said, does that sound familiar? And they'd say, yeah, that sounds familiar. Like, and you know, I remember, Michael, and this is to encourage people to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, King of Kings. I can remember going into meetings and the presence of the Lord would show up so strong that people would smell the most beautiful rose. It wasn't water being dumped into some fan system in a revival of contemporary Christianity. That literally happened. But this was the most unusual. It defies description, yet it's like a rose. Jesus called the Rose of Sharon. I can remember when the supernatural was norm, and I can also remember a prophecy the Lord gave to a large group of people. And the bottom line is through this man God used mightily, and he said, my children, you will long for these days in the future. For know this, that the days will come when I will not move like this again until my day comes when I return again. And Michael, I'm telling you this, that I was raised in the Holy Ghost, and I saw miracles. I watched lives transformed. And yet I long for those days, because here's the deal. It doesn't do me any good to pray unless God answers those prayers. And I believe when I pray for the people on Doug's show or whoever, mine or whatever, you do too, that God's going to answer those prayers, because number one, he died for the people we're praying for. Number two, they're going to be with him in heaven forever. And number three, someone prayed for us in order for us to be able to pray for someone else. Go ahead.
I think we also need to understand, and I look at those days, I was part of a great revival when I was over in Germany, the tail end of it. I saw manifestations of the Spirit of God that I have never seen here in America. In fact, I remember one time we had the power of God fall that for an hour, Steve, and it was a home fellowship where we had little kids. I mean, ranging from one, you know, on upstairs step. Steve, for an hour, even the babies sat there and would make a sound because the holiness of God was there. Where we're headed, if God would actually release his glory, end time glory, that nobody would survive. Because sin and that type of glory cannot be in the same place. If it's not under the blood, it will be consumed.
Amen.
At the same time, we are in a position that we have got to have that kind of glory. You know, a lot of things I'm doing in my life right now, God this last year told me to buy a building. I didn't want to buy it. I've got a year and a half worth of remodeling to do anything with it. I was happy with where I was at. I thought, you know, I've got my plan. I'm going to kind of retire, you know, semi-retire, write books, do all this other stuff. And people say, Mike, why did you buy the building? I fear God. He said, buy it. I went out and emptied out the ministry accounts, and I bought the thing because he said to, knowing that I still have at least a year and a half's worth of work to do to get it ready, and I still don't fully understand what I'm going to do when I get it done. But man, obedience is better than sacrifice. I want it to be a place where his glory can come in. I want it to be a place where the remnant of God can come for strategic level training. I mean, no kindergarten. I want college level, if you will, in the kingdom of God, trained for God's special forces in the end days. And I'm doing everything that I do because I fear God. And Steve, I know you're doing, and Doug is doing what we do because we fear God. There are a lot of easier paths that we could have taken.
Amen. And you know, Michael, one of the things that I think is critical too is to be able, under the anointing, to grant probably the greatest prayer request that we could pray for anybody is a transformational encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Transformational, not just an encounter, but a transformational. That when people would look, we'd glow like Moses, you know? And I mean that not for our sake, but they'd say, what's different about you? I mean, I can tell you this, when the anointing is there, everybody, including the demons and the fallen ones, know it. They know it specifically. And so the glory that God the Father gave to Jesus, his son, Jesus said, I want that for you too. Because the delight is in giving God glory. It's not in taking it for yourself. You know, the delight is in giving God glory. In essence, we get to give back. We get to be mirrors of Jesus. You know, I'm working on a lot of that right now. Okay. Somebody said, well, you're a foggy mirror. I said, yeah, but at least I'm on the wall and I can see some image and some light at the end of the tunnel. But I said, you know what? You're looking at me. I'm looking to him. I am God's issue, not your complaint. And I think that's the other thing. Peter, when he's talking to Jesus and he's asking Jesus, basically, what are you going to do with John? You know, and Jesus answered back, Peter, what is it to you, Peter? There's too many people minding other people's business in the body of Christ and not minding the Lord or the commandment of the Lord to go forth or to be just who you're to be. I don't want to be like you. You, God knows that you don't want to be like me. We just want to be like Jesus and what he wants us to be. But everybody wants to transform little jellyfishians to put them in an aquarium, you know, and I got news for you. I believe that which has manifested itself as mainstream Christianity is dead, done, gone. Ichabod has been written over the door. I don't care if there's 50,000 people. I don't care if they're, you know, Hillsong. I don't care if they've embraced this heresy, that heresy. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go where Jesus, and Jesus is going to be with a small voice that says, Steve, you see that woman over there? I want you to go over and tell her I love you, meaning Jesus saying, ma'am, I want you to know something. I've never seen you before. This is a literal thing, you know. Walking in the Spirit is different than just talking about the Spirit. Would you agree to that?
Oh, absolutely. Walking in the Spirit is being so sensitive to the things around you. And, you know, Watchman Nee even talked about that there seems to be a crust, if you almost like the veil,
yep,
that separates our spirit from our soul. And we won't let God do the work to bust through that veil. When you do, you start sensing everything by the Spirit of God. You can sense people's pain around you. You can sense their elation. You can sense those that are of kindred spirit. And Steve, we're going to have that in the last days. We're going to have to rediscover the art of walking by the Holy Spirit, not by a religious spirit, not by playing religious games, because it's going to be that's, you know, what I'm seeing in my spirit is like the guy that can dance through a minefield, but he never snaps on a mine. You know why? He was guided by something greater than himself. And I think God is calling all of us to that in the days ahead. That's why we got to leave churchianity behind. I've got to take personal responsibility for it. I am with God. I've got to know the word of God myself. Years ago, I heard one minister when he went in, and the church wanted him to teach them how to proper biblical interpretation. And he said, I'm warning you, once I do this, not only is it going to kill 90% of your excuses, but it's going to run any traveling evangelist come here, because you're going to know the junk he's preaching isn't the word of God. Do you really want me to know? Mm-hmm. If we would have known that, if we would have known that this, the proper basic principles of understanding the word of God and had the fear of God, Steve, 95% of what's going on right now in the body of Christ would have never seen the light of day. It would have never been tolerated even for a moment.
Doug, any comments, sir?
Keep going. Just keep going. This is gold. Thank you.
What a gracious host you are. You know, one of the things that's very important is this, that the supernatural has been seized by the devil, his followers, and the occultists and the elitists. I do not believe that outside of God giving the people that are listening to our broadcast, meaning the one we're doing right now with Doug Hagman on whatever the day is today, the 30th of April, I don't think, Michael, that people understand that the occultists, the devil worshippers, Satanists, the Luciferians, the elitists, blah, 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 they all believe in a supernatural power of that whom they yielded themselves to. The problem is because the Christians could not stand in the power of the living God and the power of his might, they've steamrolled, and Christianity has been seen as a powerless, false belief system. I don't claim that. I'm saying that's what they claim. I was in Kalispell, Montana, actually Whitefish Lake, a couple years ago, and I told the story. This guy had horns implanted. He literally had horns implanted. Had a T-shirt on, said, Christians, your day is coming. I went to get up. My wife said, don't do it, okay? And my wife tames me, but there are times when she's not around, I call myself the untamed husband. And this is a true story. And I watched the guy, and he was exhorting the people. And I don't hear well, but I was close. I was like probably less than one table away, and I did have my hearing aids in those days. And he was just railing on how they're going to have their day and how the Christians just don't see it coming. Well, I'd say this. Our goal is now to say, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to worry about seeing it coming. It's here. It's here. When I got saved, you've heard the story. The two events that the Lord shared with me, you know, two of the, he said that would precede his second coming would be cannibalism would fill the headlines of the day. Trust me, 48 years ago, that wasn't a big deal. And one of the things is the major volcanoes of the world will be going off simultaneously. As of a couple of days ago, 45 of them were going off. Cannibalism is even a show on network TV called, or not pay for TV called Santa Clarita. The open, and I don't go on the dark web, Doug. I don't even know how to do it, nor would I do it if I did know, but I don't. But the recipes and the places to get together, Michael, for eating human beings now is open. Even famous movie stars are talking about partaking in human flesh. And then when Microsoft made the biggest faux pas of their history, and I believe God just stripped the mask off and had Marina Abramović as a spokeswoman in art, and she came out and said she's not a Satanist. There are pictures of her with Lady Gaga sitting over a cadaver, and it may be a food cadaver. It looked pretty human to me, and it's all split open like an autopsy table. And you know, I don't know if it's in chocolate or whatever, but you're talking about the putting forth of human cannibalism now as a norm. And the deal is the United Nations saying, hey, just eat worms, okay? Nancy Pelosi may say to the peasants, just eat ice cream, but they're saying just eat worms. And one of the old curses would be, I think it used to go like something, why don't you just go eat worms and die, okay? Well, that's the same attitude that the United Nuts and the United Nations are allied against God and his people. They're making war on him every day. And I want you to address, if you would right now, because we've got 15 minutes or so, the persecution that is around the world going place on believers. More Christians are being killed now in the last 10 years. I mean, I've seen the numbers, guys like Raymond Ibrahim and others are talking about just the devastating. How do you personally challenge the people that don't even care about that? I'm talking about our brothers and sisters being slaughtered. Can you just take your time and develop that?
Well, I think that is a time for a checkup of the heart. If people are being slaughtered because they're being slaughtered for the faith, let me tell you something. Some of these people, the very last word they cry out is Jesus.
Amen.
In whatever language they're speaking, in the face of horrific challenges. It should challenge our faith. The reason that we have become numb to it is it challenges our faith when we get depressed because somebody clicks a thumbs down or say something off color. I have found out personally there's a reason there is a delete key on my keyboard. In fact, I had Apple because I kept on wearing out delete keys. I had an Apple keyboard and I kept on deleting keys, or the delete key I kept on wearing out, because of all the junk that I get. And I know you do the same thing, Steve. And the tech guy at Apple said, you know, we'll just make you a USB delete key. Just that way it's easier to replace. We constantly get these things because they would rather either be hardened to what's going on with brothers and sisters in Christ, or even if I'm arguing and I'm griping about Mike Lake, Steve Quayle, and Doug Hagman, and I'm griping all the time about what they're doing, I don't have the bandwidth within my own mind for the Holy Spirit to deal with me and the issues that I really need to deal with, is what is going on with a lot of this. And I think in the days ahead, we're going to identify with that because it's coming home to roost.
Amen.
You know, if I don't care if I don't care, you know, you go ahead and write treatises against me. I don't care. Because it was being done of the apostles in the New Testament. It was being done by the pastors throughout church history. If we're not being persecuted to a certain degree for speaking truth, then we're not speaking it right.
Well, and again, you know, the deal is that I got to tell you a funny story. In the old days, when I used to go to an Assembly of God church, and they bring in speakers from all over, and they tell the infamous how eagles train their young, they kick them out of the nest, teach them how to fly and stuff. I said, yeah, but you guys, this was coming from a new Christian perspective. I said, you can use those sermons, but the problem is the minute you're teaching about soaring with wings as eagles and kicking the eaglets out of the nest, I said, somebody in the church sets up an AK-AK gun and starts blowing away baby eagles, you know? Well, that didn't endear me much to the powers that be, but it was true. You know, I think it was the late Bob Mumford who made the statement that he said Christians don't care for their wounded. They treat the prisoners of war better than they treat their own wounded. And I think it's an egalitarian, egotistical, wicked land that allows the stories of our Christian brothers and sisters in Syria to be slaughtered, to be cut up in meat markets. Excuse me, Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq, more importantly, or as importantly, the literally suffering of our Christian brothers in China. And a lot of the truth that came out, Michael, from China and Doug was from the Christians who they knew when they spoke the truth, it was the end of them. Sure enough, there are pictures on the internet of them being dragged off, you know, and the last thing they said, they're not telling you the truth. And any society that will kill the truth tellers, obviously, even in ancient history, people will not stand the truth because lies are more comfortable. So what God's going to do is take away the comfort of the lies and the lies that people believe that we're, justifying. Comfort doesn't justify the truth. Comfort usually justifies pleasure. So as everything that we've taken for granted is taken from us, what remains? It's our faith, and it's the power of God in our lives. And I think that it's critical that we understand that. And Michael, you know, I really feel we should pray for Doug right now on the show, because I know how much attack he's under. And I know, you know, because I'm his a friend and you're a friend too, but, you know, he doesn't ask me to do this. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Hagman has never asked me once to pray. And when I ask people to support him, he's never asked me once to do that. Never, ever, ever. And I've been on with Doug for however many years, Doug, you've been on. But I think it's really important now, because what we're seeing is the assassination of a platform that God has raised up. Would you like to pray for Doug? And I will, or, you know, if you would.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we lift up Doug.
Yes.
Father, I bring before your court the accusers that have spread lies, that have used half-truths, that have even tried to use the courts to silence truth. And, Father, I ask that you would judge this situation. Father, right now, the three of us come into agreement, and every believer that's watching this show, Father, come into agreement, that heaven would move, Father, that you would send warring angels, Father, to war against the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness that have set themselves against this ministry and other ministries like it, trying to deplatform them. Father, I ask that it would become a shame that everything hidden in these people's lives, things that the secrets of their hearts of what they're really trying to do, Father, that it would be proclaimed from the rooftops. I ask that you would silence their mouths. Father, I ask that you would take away their power to do it. And Father, that you would give a supernatural protection around Doug and every other man of God or woman of God that's trying to get the truth out, Father. Father, let it be known in the spirit realm, these are ones that you do not touch. These are ones that you do not come over. And Father, we understand that for all of us, there is a weight to that kind of favor, that it causes us to walk in the fear of God more than ever before. But Father, we ask that heaven would move, and Father, that you would keep the channels open to get this word out to a generation that so desperately needs it. And Father, over Doug and his wife, Father, I just ask that the peace of God would cover them. Father, yes, that peace that passes all understanding. And Father, I cry out, restore, 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 Father, restore joy. Father, even in physiologically, the things that all this pressure has created, Father, I ask that you would restore their bodies. And Father, every dime that they have had to waste on these frivolous things, Father, I ask that you would restore that to them as well. In Jesus' name.
And Father, I pray right now for each and every listener to this. I pray for a hunger, Lord.
Yes.
You said that a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And Lord, I ask for a transformational encounter. There are people listening to us now that believe they're beyond the grace of God. And if they're listening now, that's obviously that they're not beyond the grace of God. Sure. And Lord, you have absolutely revealed your love for humanity through your son, Jesus. And Father, right now, I ask that you would touch each and every person that's going to hear this broadcast, that you would take fear from their lives, and that you would give them that perfect love that casts out all fear. And Lord, I pray for those who are lonely, God, the widows, the widowers, the elderly, Lord, the vets who are locked away in veteran hospitals, etc. God, I'm asking that even today, Lord, I buy my heart in agreement with Dr. Lake, Lord, and Doug, that God, you will start a mighty work, Lord, a mighty work of transformational encounters with you, Lord, and your ministering and warring angels, God, the holy angels of God, to your people that will listen to this broadcast. Father, the uncertainty has never been greater, Lord. The perplexities have never been more demanding. The questions, Lord, have never been more numerous. But in the name of Jesus, we loose that spirit of wisdom, counsel, and might, Lord, as in Isaiah 11, to the people, Father, in Jesus' name, your people that are listening to this broadcast. This is no work of man, Lord. You just let it happen. And God, you let it happen with your anointing. Bless Brother Michael, Lord. Bless what he's doing. Anoint his passion, Lord, and open the doors for him. And Father, we thank you. I thank you, God, that your anointing will be on each speech that's given, each presentation that's given at Branson. I thank you for those who will be touched by it. And Lord, I just praise you for just having us all alive at this moment. And God, again, it's true, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. And Father, that which makes war against Doug Hagman, those who make war against Doug Hagman, Michael Lake and myself, we send them to the foot of the cross, Lord. We take them to the foot of the cross, just like you smote Ananias and Sapphira, Lord, when they lied to the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you bring them to the foot of that cross, and if they will not repent, you take them off the earth. Lord, imprecatory prayer, you never told us to quit praying it, Lord. And your word is over and over, Lord, that we're the salt of the earth. You said in your word, you looked for a man that would stand in the gap. Well, Lord, there's three of us right now, and your word says a threefold cord is not easily broken. But Lord, we're just words and sounds and moving mouths without the power of Almighty God. And Lord, we all three agree that the power of the Holy Ghost would come upon each and every one, Lord, in a most unique and individual manner so that the people will know it's really you and not some form of mass this or mass that. Lord, we love you and praise you, and we thank you for what you've done in Doug's life. We thank you for just rebuking the devourer for his sake. And again, I agree with what my brother Michael has prayed. And Lord, we pray that from this point forward, God, our efforts would be multiplied in the heavens. If there's an innumerable amount of angels, that means beyond the ability to count them, then God, I pray for the innumerable amount of blessings to be upon your people. Lord, you said more numerous than the sand of the sea, so are your thoughts towards people, each individual person. And God, sometimes we don't even have a grain of sand that we can see. But Lord, open up the eyes of the beach of your blessing. If the sand on a beach is infinite, and at least the stars in the sky are, then Lord, that's your thoughts towards each and every one. God, you are he who creates out of nothing. You are he who recreates us into something. Lord, I just ask your blessing on my brothers now in Jesus' name and on each and every listener to this broadcast tonight. Let this mark a transition point. This is the end of the month, but it is the beginning of the rest of their life. And God, we rebuke the devourer over every listener in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So be it, Lord. So be it.
Amen.
You know, again, Michael, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm excited, Michael, to hear what you're going to present. And ladies and gentlemen, again, go to gen6.com. We've got 14 days to get everybody signed up. Thank you, Eric, for putting that up. And I promise you, it's going to be pretty mind-blowing. I know this. I know what I got to see what you're doing. I got to see what everybody else is doing. I don't mean view the presentations, but just the titles. And I don't believe that there's another place on earth that will equip with this knowledge. And I'm sensing the Lord. As you know, I believe these conferences act as a key. Once we give it, then the headlines of tomorrow will be based on the information of today. So, meaning the conference will be a key to unlocking a lot of stuff.
And Dr. Lake, if I can just say that you've been so right on the money with all of your work. And folks, I'm going to direct you to the works of Dr. Michael Lake and his wife Mary Lou Lake as well, including but not limited to the Shinar Directive and the Sharith Imperative, and of course all of Steve Quayle's works, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. All of the program links will be in the, or all of the links will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com, including the link to the conference. Listening to and watching Dr. Michael Lake alone would, in my view anyway, justify the cost of the ticket. And it's so nice, Steve. And I want to thank you very much for including the video on demand for, with this for last year's conference as well. I believe, am I correct in that?
That's correct.
I mean, that as well. And you'll notice how well they fit together or will fit together when you watch them both. And so please do that, folks. Time is running out. So please, sign up. And Dr. Lake, again, thank you so very much for all you do. I know that the sacrifices are great. I know you're under fire. And Steve, brother, boy, we're under fire as well. But you know what? Together, and I believe this, together we'll prevail. And Dr. Lake, thank you again. Please.
Thank you. My blessing.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Talk soon. Folks, we're out of time. Wow. What a powerful presentation. The battle is spiritual. The battle is spiritual. Just want to say thank you for listening. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for just doing what you do. May God bless. Good night.